Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to be looking at the New Testament church, how it unfolded. And if you have not listened to the last two or three weeks of broadcasts, we've been looking at the book of Acts and the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out on all mankind. And beloved, you can have your own Pentecostal experience. You can have your own day of Pentecost. Just seek the Lord with all your heart. Humble yourself before God, and He will exalt you. And so you can have your own Pentecost experience this day, now 2,000 years after Pentecost. Well, if we look in the second chapter of Acts, starting in verse 42, in verse 41, it tells us there was 3,000 people that were baptized that day on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people responded to the great sermon, the evangelism message that Peter preached, and 3,000 were added to the kingdom on that day. And so that was the first great evangelism meeting of the New Testament church. And again, I spoke last week about some of the meetings we have had here in Africa, and we have had 20 and 30,000 people several times at some meetings. I'm wanting and praying to go to a higher level, to a new level, an abundant level of 50,000 to 100,000 people in one meeting. And so that is God's plan for this ministry. That is God's plan for me, to stand up and preach before 100,000 people and maybe even beyond that, to 200,000, 300,000. There have been meetings by some evangelists here in Africa of a million people or more at one meeting, especially over in Nigeria with evangelist Reinhard Bonnke. And so we know that it is possible, it is God's plan to usher in a wave of evangelism that is going to sweep through the whole world at this time. The harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. And so pray for the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into His harvest. Well, in Acts 2:42, then it goes on to say, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. So those are the four pillars that I see should be the hallmark of any New Testament church. And if you don't have a church out there, or if you are looking for a church, or you are being convicted that you need to be in a church, maybe you've been in a church in the past, but you've drifted away and have not been in one recently, pray about having the Lord open a door for you to go into a good church. Pray about having the Lord show you a good church. And when you get there, this is what you should look for, that the church is steeped in the apostles' doctrine or in good, sound doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And I'm going to go into detail on each one of those four aspects of what I believe to be a good New Testament church. And so if you'll keep this message in mind as you're looking for a church, and of course, soak everything in prayer. Many times churches can be interesting or enticing or exciting when you first start to go and when you first start to join into the activities. But then as you get to know more about the church and more about the pastor and the people there, you may be turned away by some things that you see happening, or you get a deeper revelation or understanding of some things that you see happening, and so the Lord will reveal to you, maybe that's not the right church for you. Maybe that church has some doctrinal issues that you don't think are right, and so all these things will be revealed to you if you just pray, steep it in prayer, ask the Lord to show you what He wants you to know, ask the Lord to lead you to a good, sound church that is sound in doctrine and in other ways. Well, in terms of doctrine, that's the first point, that these people were listening to the doctrinal positions of the apostles. They were listening to the doctrinal statements of the apostles. And of course, we know a good church is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the blood that he shed, and the death that he died, and the resurrection. If that isn't the foundation of the church, run from it, flee from it. Also, a good New Testament church is founded on the principle or the doctrinal statement of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so there are many churches out there that manipulate the Trinity. We have some churches here in Africa that claim to be Jesus-only churches. They believe that Jesus is Father God, they believe he is the Son, they believe he is the Holy Spirit, and so they have a distorted and manipulated viewpoint of the Trinity. You may come across that in America somewhere also as well. So if that is the case, when churches start manipulating and distorting the Trinity, you know they're getting away from foundational truth. Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm going to talk a little bit about doctrinal heresy and also what is to be expected in the end days. And beloved, we are in the end days. We are in a time of conflict, not just in America, but all over the world. We're in a time of chaos. And so it's going to be very, very important to know what the Bible says about any situation. It's going to be very important to know what the Bible says about church, but also about government, about democracy, about ruling, and all of these issues that we see front and center boiling up in America and other nations around the world. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Well, that is where we are in America. There's a good base of God-fearing people here in America, but there's also many, many people that don't know God. They claim to be Christian. They claim to know God. They claim to know Jesus, but they are far from him. Their words speak that they are near, but their hearts are far away, and they're calling for violence. They're calling for destruction. They're calling for looting and tearing down of everything that is good in America to try to get their way, because they are traitors and headstrong and haughty, and they are lovers of pleasure. You know, there comes a time when people love to see things destroyed. Believe it or not, there's a time when people love to see things destroyed, and they love to see destruction and mayhem and chaos so they can maybe run into a store, break into a store, and loot and carry off shoes or whatever it is they think they need. And so we are at that place in America, and perilous times are here. So we need to listen to what the Bible has to say. And Paul tells Timothy, his beloved son Timothy, he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, I charge you therefore, Timothy, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Verse 2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Beloved, when you are looking for a church, or when you are already in a church, you can manipulate the scripture. You can manipulate the word of God to believe anything you want to believe. Many people do this. They take scriptures, they cherry pick certain scriptures, and they believe those scriptures and they form a doctrine around those scriptures. And so they form the doctrine to support and substantiate whatever it is, their political cause or their religious cause, whatever it is, they can form a doctrine that will support their viewpoint, their worldview. And so be careful not to do that. Receive the whole counsel of God. When you're praying and you're asking the Lord for guidance, you're asking the Lord for wisdom, receive the whole counsel of God. And that is why it's important to read the Bible from the very beginning, from the first chapter of Genesis all the way to the end of Revelation. Read through the whole Bible. Don't just cherry pick a few scriptures that you see on Facebook. Don't just cherry pick a few scriptures that you might know from your childhood or something. Read the whole Bible. Sit down, get close to God, draw close to Him, submit yourself to Him, and receive the whole counsel of God's Word. Receive the whole counsel from the Holy Spirit. And if you do that, you will not be deceived. You will not be tricked. And when you see things happening on the earth, you will know that perilous times have come. And you will know that we are drifting and that others are drifting far away from what God's plan for the Scripture is, what God's plan for the New Testament church is. And so we need to be just as Timothy, when Paul said, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, and with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And so we are here right now, and you may say, well, Jim, I'm not a preacher, or I'm not an evangelist, and I don't have a radio broadcast. Well, beloved, I didn't used to either. But you can get to that point maybe someday. You can get to that point. Seek the Lord while He may be found. You may get to that point. Seek me first in my kingdom and my righteousness, Jesus said, and all these things shall be added unto you. When you seek the Lord, you don't know what the Lord may open up for you. He may open up a radio broadcast for you. He may open up a television program. He may open up just to do some live streaming video messages on the internet. You don't know what He might open up for you. But I can tell you this, if you don't seek the Lord, you're not going to find any of those things, and you're not going to find the Lord. So there may be a time when you will be able to convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching, just as Timothy did. And another thing that I want to encourage you with is some people that are watching you, maybe your neighbors, maybe your children, maybe your friends at work, your co-workers, some people that are watching you, maybe the only Bible they will ever read is watching your life. And so it's very important that you live a life that is exemplary. It is important that you live a life that brings glory and honor to Jesus Christ. It's important that you live a life that is upright and righteous and outstanding. We are to look like Jesus Christ. We have been predestined to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And so that is our goal, to live a life of righteousness, to live a life of holiness. And you will have to stand in front of the Lord someday and make an account of your life. And so it's very important that you live a life of righteousness and you be a witness for the kingdom, a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ as you go about your daily walk. Well, the second part of the pillars of God's New Testament church was the fellowship. And what I'm speaking today about fellowship, I mean just the gathering together of the saints and the gathering together to pray, to encourage one another, to stimulate each other to good deeds, to good works. And beloved, if you're not part of a church, that's another good reason. A great reason for you to be a part of a church is so that you can get together to encourage and pray with others, to have people pray with you, and to stimulate and promote good works and good deeds. Beloved, if it were not for the church, missionaries would not be sent out. If it were not for the church, clinics and hospitals here in Africa and Mexico and places would not be built if it were not for the church. There would be no institutions of higher learning for Bible study, for seminaries, for biblical degrees and biblical study. And so it's very important that we gather together to build the kingdom of God. It's important that we get together, and I'm not talking about building fantastic church buildings. That's nice, that's great, to build a monument, to build a memorial to God, and to celebrate our relationship with Jesus Christ with a beautiful building, but that's not what I'm talking about. People in Africa also celebrate and promote the kingdom of God in sheet metal shacks, and probably the majority of churches in Africa are sheet metal buildings. They're made of just a few sticks and sheet iron going over them, and so that is not the primary focus of the church. The primary focus is that we get together, that we fellowship together, and promote and encourage the kingdom of God through good works and through prayer and establishing the kingdom here on the earth. Well, Hebrews 10:25, the Apostle Paul says, "Do not forsake the assembling or the gathering of the saints, as is the manner of some," or as the habit of some, "but exhorting one another, and so much more so as the day," or as the end day, "draws near." And so Paul is saying that some people don't think it's important to gather. Some people don't think that it is important to come together to pray. And we have that, of course, in America. There's probably 80% of people in America that claim to be Christian. They claim to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and the Lord God, Jehovah God, but probably on any given Sunday, there may be 30 or 40% of the people in America in church. And here in Kenya, the statistics are even more bleak than that. We have about 10 to 20% of the people here in Kenya in church on Sunday. And so Paul is saying, don't forsake the assembling. Do not forsake the gathering of the saints, as is the habit of some, and so much more as the end day draws near. Beloved, we're seeing in America today the chaos and the riots and the looting. And this is just a harbinger. This is just a foretaste, a foreshadow of the things that are going to be coming in the days ahead. It's going to be a mob situation, mob rule in many circumstances, and anything could trigger it, anything, because the mob has figured out now, the mob has come to a place of understanding where they know that they have the power to take over a city. They know they have the power to establish their own rule, their own reign, and disregard the rule of law in America. And so they have been given that freedom, I guess you would call it that freedom to do that by certain politicians and certain viewpoints of thought. And so in the days ahead, you're going to see this ugly anarchy arising in different shapes and forms and in different places across the country. And I believe I'm going to prophesy today there will be places in America where there will be no law and order, there will be chaos, and there will be other places in America where there will be peace and law and order, and people will be fleeing to those places where there is peace and law and order, and people have a chance to make a living without government interference, without anarchy interference and intrusion. And you're going to see a great shift in the population as people look for those places of refuge. Well, the third pillar that Paul talks about in the book of Acts is the breaking of bread. And I believe he's talking about here communion, not necessarily sharing food as in a meal, but just breaking of bread in communion. Why is this important? Well, 1 Corinthians 11:23, Paul talks about the importance of communion. And he says here in verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And so it is important for us when we gather together to partake of communion. It is important for us because it binds us to the Lord Jesus Christ. It binds us to his memory, and we are remembering his broken body and his shed blood. And so it gives us a pause in our life. It's a time of contemplation. It's a time of meditation. It's a time of introspection. It's a time of repentance. And so all of these things are very important, that when we come together, we have communion, we break bread, and we drink the cup. And so this will help us to remember that Jesus is coming back. It will help us to remember that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He died for your sins. And so that will bring Jesus into focus in our lives in a greater way. Well, the last pillar of the New Testament church was in prayers. And so what more needs to be said about prayers? If you read through the Bible, all through the Bible, God's people prayed. All through the Bible, people cried out to the Lord in their time of desperation, in their time of praise, in their time of pain and suffering. And that is God's plan, that we pray, ask God to move, and he will move. Ask God to open doors, and he will open doors. Ask God to provide, and he will provide. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. And so you can pray all day long. You can pray while you're at work. You can pray while you're driving down the road. You can pray before your athletic contest or before you go out in the field to harvest your wheat. You can pray. And God's plan is that you pray and depend on him and rely on him in every situation. And he will provide. He loves to hear your prayer. He loves to hear your asking him for the things that you need, and your praising of him for the things that he has provided. And so that is positioning ourselves before God. That is placing ourselves in a place of dependence before God. And so God loves to hear our prayers. And beloved, when you pray without ceasing, you will have God on your mind and the Lord Jesus Christ on your heart and the Holy Spirit with you in everything you do in life, in every endeavor. You'll be able to walk away from those things that are binding you, those sinful activities that are binding you and keeping you in bondage, and you'll be able to go to a new level, to a supernatural level in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, beloved, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We enjoy bringing these broadcasts. We are compelled to bring these broadcasts, but we also need your help to do it. We thank the Lord for the many years that he has provided, and I believe that the Lord is going to do even greater things for this ministry in the days ahead. In Africa, we are finishing up the church building that we have been working on for the last 3 months, and we're just about finished. We've got the final painting done this week. We're getting ready to put tile down on the floor, and as soon as the coronavirus restrictions are lifted, we're going to be ready to meet in that church. And so we praise the Lord for that. We also have 12 children in the children's home at Living Water now, and we're looking forward to bringing more children in. We're going to need money for school fees, money for food and clothing and medical needs. And so we would invite your support. We would invite your partnership. You could partner with us on a monthly basis to support one of those children or one or more. And so we praise the Lord. God is going to bring us supporters. God is going to bring the provision that we need. And so we praise the Lord for that. But you can be a part of that. You can join in God's kingdom and promoting it, not only this radio broadcast, but also of the great projects that we have going here in Africa. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.